The TSA's Operation Playbook is back. Discovery's launch is delayed again, and an MD-83 sheds parts after departing LaGuardia. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, March 12th, 2009. It's back. Industry sources tell ANN the Transportation Security Administration is about to take a second run at Operation Playbook, an initiative to create an airport security network which is less routine and more confusing to would-be terrorists. The American Association of Airport Executives has bulletined its members to say that unlike the first iteration, the new version of the program no longer requires airports to adopt a comprehensive airport security program amendment. The new program is based on a memorandum of agreement based on a provided template. An ANN review of program documents suggests the program is voluntary, but not without pressure, and all costs will be borne by participating airports. The extent to which Operation Playbook is related to recent public meetings conducted by TSA over security clearances for general aviation pilots using commercial airports is not yet clear. You can find more details on this story at aero-news.net. We've solicited comment on the program from industry groups. NASA has once again postponed the launch of the Space Shuttle Discovery for the STS-119 mission after a leak was discovered in a liquid hydrogen vent line between the orbiter and the external fuel tank. Engineers found the problem during fueling for last night's scheduled launch. NASA first reset for a Thursday evening launch, but then announced last night it will now be at least Sunday. We'll keep you posted. United Technologies has announced it will cut 5% of its global workforce this year. The conglomerate includes such well-known aviation brands as Sikorsky, Pratt & Whitney, Rocketdyne, and Hamilton Sundstrand. That would be 11,600 jobs across all divisions. UTC CEO Louis Chenevert made headlines recently for announcing that Sikorsky had enjoyed what he called 25% organic growth in 2008, and for saying he expected the recession to be over in the second half of 2009. Well, no more. Quote, "The outlook for commercial aerospace and global construction markets has continued to deteriorate. Now I don't believe there's going to be a recovery in 09." Unquote. While aerospace is actually performing better than many sectors of the economy, United Technologies also owns Otis Elevator and Carrier Air Conditioners, both tied to the housing and construction sectors. Of the job cuts, Chenevert said, quote, "These are tough things you'd rather not do, but it was important to get out there and be aggressive and proactive." Unquote. Sikorsky remains one bright spot, with shipments expected to be up to 15% higher in 2009, thanks to demand from military and offshore oil platform operators. An American Airlines MD-83 made an emergency landing shortly after taking off from New York's LaGuardia Airport yesterday morning due to an engine failure. WCBS-TV News reports Flight 309 was on climbout en route to Chicago O'Hare when the flight crew reported a loud bang, followed by the spooling down of the right engine. As the plane's flight crew responded, debris from the engine rained down on College Point in Queens. One witness recalled, quote, "We heard a very, very loud sonic boom or explosion, followed immediately thereafter by about 30 to 45 seconds of debris raining down. Everybody was quite alarmed. We immediately suspected it was a problem with a plane," unquote. FAA investigators collected metal fragments for analysis from the roof of a warehouse on 123rd Street. There were no injuries on the plane or on the ground. Up next on ANN, Lufthansa finally signs on the line with Bombardier. The Lytle family sues Cirrus again. And the terrorist watch list passes the 1 million mark. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, You'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ-2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing from March 12th. I'm Paul Platt. It's been a long time coming. Bombardier Aerospace announced on Wednesday Deutsche Lufthansa AG, the launch customer for the C-Series aircraft program, signed a firm purchase agreement for 30 of the single-aisle planes. The aircraft will be operated by Swiss International Airlines Limited, a Lufthansa subsidiary. Based on list prices, the contract value is about $1.5 billion U.S. The agreement also includes options on an additional 30 planes. Lufthansa became the launch customer for the C-Series last July with a letter of intent for up to 60 aircraft. But without a firm contract in hand, Bombardier had a tough time finding more takers, and analysts suggested the entire program could be at risk as the recession deepened. Bombardier even criticized Boeing and Airbus in January, saying their notorious delays of more than 2 years in recent development programs was making it harder for all manufacturers to get customers to take delivery promises seriously. Well, things are happier now. Lufthansa's Senior VP of Corporate Fleet, Nico Buchholz, said of the order commitment, quote, "We are proud to be the launch customer for the C-Series, which meets our requirements for sustainable fleet development, including significant reductions in fuel burn and noise, as well as offering flexibility for the future," unquote. With the order comes a new nomenclature for the C-Series. The 110-seat C-110 is now called the CS-100. The 130-seat C-130 will now be known as the CS-300. After all, it would have been ridiculous to say you were buying a C-130 to reduce fuel burn and noise. The first CS-100s are projected to enter service in 2013. Cirrus Design has been sued by the widow of former New York Yankees baseball pitcher Corey Lytle for $50 million, claiming Lytle would have made at least that much had his career not been cut short by the October 2006 plane crash that claimed his life. Lytle and flight instructor Tyler Stanger were killed when they hit a Manhattan apartment building while attempting a 180-degree turn above the East River. Three people on the ground, all of them responders, were also injured. The National Transportation Safety Board cited both pilots for failure to properly execute a steep turn over the river and found nothing wrong with the aircraft, but that hasn't stopped the lawyers. The Lytle family has previously sued Cirrus in 2007. Tenants of the apartment building have sued the estates of both Lytle and Stanger, and Stanger's family has sued Cirrus. In response to requests from USA Today, the U.S. Office of the Director of National Intelligence confirmed the terrorist watch list used to screen U.S. passengers has reached a new milestone, 1 million names. If your name is put on the list by intelligence or law enforcement agencies, you can face consequences ranging from a little more thorough screening to being prevented from flying or stopped at an international border. The FBI says only 1 in 20 people on the list are U.S. citizens. The FBI's Terrorist Screening Center says that million names represents only about 400,000 individuals because multiple spellings are often included on the list. The center also says 33,000 entries were removed from the list last year through routine updates and investigations that cleared people previously listed. Surprisingly, many people who complain that they're on the list erroneously actually are not on the list. The Department of Homeland Security claims most of those cases turn out to be people who were stopped by local screeners because their names were similar to those on the list. Tim Sparapani, a lawyer with the American Civil Liberties Union, tells USA Today the list has become too bloated to be effective. But the Government Accountability Office, while admitting the list could be more accurate, insists it has enhanced the U.S. government's counterterrorism efforts, unquote. Duncan Aviation has provided more detail on the first employee layoffs in its 53-year history. The company will cut 304 positions across nearly every department, including 170 in Lincoln, Nebraska, 122 at its Battle Creek and Kalamazoo, Michigan locations, and 12 in the company's nationwide network of smaller satellite avionics and engine shops. Chairman Todd Duncan calls it a tough emotional time. Quote, "We have always been proud of being able to weather tough times with our workforce intact. This recession, however, has been drastically different. The sharp decline in flying by companies that own business aircraft, combined with global business closings, reductions in spending, and political grandstanding against our very livelihoods, has created an environment that has left us no choice but to downsize, unquote. Contradicting earlier reports, the company says it still plans to open a new location in Provo, Utah. Still ahead, U.S. airlines improve on-time arrivals. The city of Wichita invites President Obama to come take a look. And is Pelosi One just part of her personal airline? You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin WAAS GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin WAAS GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, March 12th. I'm Paul Platt. With fewer flights to manage, airlines are more punctual this year than last. The U.S. Department of Transportation's Bureau of Labor Statistics reported yesterday that 19 reporting domestic airlines recorded an overall on-time arrival rate of 77.0% in January. That's up from both the 72.4% recorded a year ago and December's 65.3%. The carriers canceled 2.3% of their scheduled domestic flights, also an improvement month-to-month and year-to-year. As it often does, Hawaiian Airlines led the pack, with 90.8% of its flights arriving at the gate within 15 minutes of scheduled time. Southwest Airlines was second at 83.3%. Delta subsidiaries Comair and Atlantic Southeast Airlines brought up the rear at 56.7% and 68.3% respectively. Find more detail on the BTS report in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. The city of Wichita is getting pretty tired of hearing all business aviation painted with the same broad brush by the Obama administration. So it's decided an intervention is in order. MSNBC reports Mayor Carl Brewer and the city council have sent a letter to President Obama asking him to quit his recent bizjet bashing and visit Wichita. The letter is a formal resolution passed Tuesday by the council. It reads in part, quote, "It is important to remember that business jets are an essential part of a successful national business plan," unquote. It goes on to point out that the responsible use of business jets will spur economic recovery and that Wichita's economy could be severely damaged by reckless words. Brewer notes, quote, "We understand that he was making a statement to try and make a point, but you have to use extreme caution because just a simple statement can impact an entire economy," unquote. Meanwhile, over in Congress, while she shakes her finger at corporate America for wasting taxpayer bailout money on private jets, Democrat House Speaker Nancy Pelosi often requests high-end military aircraft to shuttle her from Washington, D.C. to her home in California. This is according to a conservative watchdog group. Unlike predecessors who got by with business-sized jets, Pelosi last year demanded and got a C-32A, that's basically a Boeing 757. She said the smaller planes were inadequate for her entourage. Republicans mocked the excess, calling the plane Pelosi One. Now, Fox News reports a Freedom of Information Act request filed by Judicial Watch turned up emails and other communications which show Pelosi often treats the U.S. Air Force as her personal airline. The documents show numerous demands of the Defense Department to provide high-end planes for Pelosi and various associates, often at the last minute. She's also reportedly notorious for requesting planes only to cancel them at the last minute. One email from a Pelosi aide to the Defense Department said, quote, "It is my understanding that there are no G5s available for the House during Memorial Day recess. This is totally unacceptable. The Speaker will want to know where the planes are," unquote. Pelosi spokesman Nadeem Al-Ashami called the requests a function of the Speaker's office and described the Speaker as extraordinarily appreciative of efforts to accommodate her. And finally today, anytime you open up a decision to a popular vote, you give promotionally minded media personalities a platform to mobilize their fans. One big reason the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was built in Cleveland, Ohio, is that radio stations there urged listeners to vote early and often in a poll to pick the location. Cleveland won that vote by a huge margin. Now, NASA has invited the public to help pick a permanent name for a room on the International Space Station, which is temporarily called Node 3. NASA's suggestions include Serenity, Legacy, Earthrise, and Venture. But in a phenomenon analogous to a write-in political campaign, late-night cable TV host Stephen Colbert has convinced his viewers the node should be named Colbert. And so far, they've put him in the lead. The Associated Press reported that by midday Tuesday, his name had 115,000 votes, and Serenity was running second with about 98,000. NASA spokesman John Yembrick hints that Colbert won't be a very good fit with the names of the other modules, which include Unity, Harmony, and Destiny. And the contest rules say the vote is non-binding. So if his name is disallowed after winning the popular vote, well, Colbert shouldn't feel too bad. He's done this before, and as a result, there are now an ice cream flavor, a Hungarian bridge, and an eagle, all named Colbert. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, certified public accountant Daniel Chung of Aviation Tax Consultants tells us how the U.S. economic stimulus plan affects business aircraft purchases. And if you haven't gotten around to it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Odeo, and at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Flack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.